Welcome to the January 22nd, 2012 edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Today, Pastor Randy Karstens continues his series from the book of Hebrews with a sermon titled Real Life Worship. The scripture for today's message is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Here's Pastor Randy.
Our walk through the Hall of Fame of Faith that is found in Hebrews chapter 11. And I invite you also, if you notice in your bulletin, that there are some notes there. And we're also going to look at Genesis chapter 4 because the two tie in very well together. So that's kind of where we're heading today. Robert Frost has written a poem that you're probably familiar with that has often been quoted in sermons. It's called The Road Less Taken. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both. And being one traveler, long I stood and looked down as far as I could down one of the roads. But then as it goes on, it talks about how even though he looked down one road, he decided to go down the other path. And then at the end of the poem, it says, the choice that this traveler had made, he took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. And so what this poem is about and what we're going to talk about today is the choices that people make. And I want you to think about your choices. Think about the choices and the effect that they have on you and on people. You know, it can be all kind of things. It can be the choice that company leaders make, for instance, to close a plant. Or it can make be the choices that people make when they choose to vote. All the way down to personal choices. And choices lead to choices. You know, think about how many children in Union County are affected by the choices that their parents have made. And since we're talking about choices, and you know in your bulletin, you probably know today is Right to Life Sunday. It's a day where we honor the sanctity of life, and it's a very sensitive subject, but it's interesting that the consequences that have come about by a movement that's known as pro-choice. You see, life is a bundle of choices, and they impact our lives in varying degrees in one way or another. And so as we continue to walk down through the Hall of Fame of Faith and stop off and look and learn about people and see how it applies to their lives, what we want to learn today is that the writer of Hebrews is telling us to choose to live by faith. And we're going to look at the lives of two men who started at the same place. But because of the choices they made, they each ended up going down very different roads. And the ironic thing about it is that it began with a fundamental choice. A choice about how they were going to worship God. And that's so fundamental because the way we worship or the way we don't worship, personally, corporately, worship affects everything that we do. We're talking about Cain and Abel. In our passage today in Hebrew, in this Hall of Fame of Faith, is Hebrew chapter 11, verse 4. And here's what the Word of the Lord says. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, or because of the demonstration of his faith, he was commended as a righteous man. In other words, he was right and pleasing to God. Commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks by his life, even though he is dead. And that's the word of the Lord. A little background that if you would like to look in your Bibles, just keep it open to Genesis chapter 4, and I'll read a portion out of there, verses 2 through 5. And here's what it says. It says, now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. That's the word of the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for your word, and we pray that it would come alive right where it needs to be in our hearts so that our faith might be more accurate and so that it might be strengthened as well. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, as we look at the story, there's three questions we want to address. First thing to think about is this. Why did they sacrifice in the first place? I mean, it seems kind of like a brutal thing. You know, and people might wonder that. Why did they have to sacrifice even in the first place? We want to look at that question. And then the second question is, why was one sacrifice accepted by God and the other was not accepted by God? And then the third thing that we always want to ask is, what can we take away today from the word of the Lord? What is he teaching us? So that's kind of where we're headed with those three questions. We need a little bit of the background. Okay, you know the story. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden and they walked with God. They were free in the garden, his protection and his provision, to enjoy his fellowship. And the only thing they couldn't do, the only prohibition they had was that the Lord said, now, for your own sake, you don't eat from this tree. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we know that they were tempted and one thing led to another and they ended up eating the apple. They were just like the rest of us. We'd have walked by that tree and then we'd have had this temptation and we'd have seen that beautiful apple and we'd be wrestling with it. And then in all likelihood, if we were Adam and Eve, we'd have done exactly the same thing because we are human as well as they are. And that's what they did. They finally got to the point where they disobeyed God. And in disobeying, they might have just thought, that looks good, I'm just going to eat it. I'm not going to think about it, you know. But what they did was they went against what God said. They quit trusting God's protection and provision. Maybe they didn't think through it or whatever it might be, but that's what happened, and that's what happens in all temptation. They sought their own way. They ate the fruit, and then they were expelled from the garden. God never changed, but their lives sure did. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, it says that in the course of time, they had children, and Cain was the firstborn that's mentioned, and then he was followed by Abel. And Abel was a shepherd, as the passage talks about, and Cain was a farmer. And the time came for them to worship, to make an offering, to make a sacrifice in the way that God prescribed. Now, why did they do that? Why did they, in the first place, make a sacrifice? It's because God told them to. Well, why did God tell them to do that? It's because even after the situation with Adam and Eve, even after sin entered the world, and people said, I'm abandoning you, God. I'm turning my back on you. I'm going my own way. Even after that, God still seeks a relationship with his people. Because if you remember something that happened after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they were naked and ashamed. They were embarrassed. They were ashamed at what they had done. They see themselves in a new way, a way they'd never seen themselves before. They were experiencing guilt, which they had never experienced before, and that made them act in a certain way. And what they did, because they saw themselves as, and they were ashamed and they were naked, they got some fig leaves and they sewed them together and they covered themselves, their moral and their physical and their spiritual nakedness. They tried to atone for it. They covered themselves with those fig leaves. But if you know the story, God didn't accept their fig leaves. In Genesis chapter 3, it says that God made coverings for them out of animals. So God killed an animal and took the skin and made coverings for them. He clothed them with garments of animal skin. God in his mercy was letting them know something very important. That is the Genesis, the book of Genesis, of the whole sacrificial system leading to Christ, and that's this. God in his mercy was letting them know that only he could truly cover their guilt and their shame that was brought about by their disobedience. And the fact that God did it by killing an animal and taking the skin and making it a covering reminds us that the covering for their sin could only be accomplished with the shedding of blood. That's what Hebrews chapter 9 says. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no covering of sins. And that is why they sacrificed, because it was a reminder of the holiness of God, it was a reminder, life for life. That's why they sacrificed. Well, then the second question would be, why was one form of worship acceptable and pleasing to God and the other was not? I mean, think about it. Cain was a farmer. Cain brought some of his, maybe it was his best crop. I think it probably was some of his finest crop. He brought to sacrifice for the Lord. You know, and I think probably the fact that he got angry when it was rejected is indicative of the fact that he was proud of what he brought for God. You know, maybe said, you know, I know God said to bring a lamb, but I'm going to bring him some of this nice grain. I'm going to bring him some of this nice wheat. And then Abel offered an animal from his flock. And the Bible says that God was pleased with Abel's offering, but wasn't pleased with Cain's offering. The question is why? Why was God happy and accepted what Abel offered, but rejected what Cain had to offer? And the answer that's given in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, is that one was offered by obeying God's word. That's Abel. That's what faith is. Faith is obeying God's word. And one was done not obeying God's word. And that offering of worship revealed where each of their hearts were. Now, I think it's safe to assume that Adam and Eve understood what these things, and in all likelihood, they taught their children a little bit about how to worship God. They learned a very valuable lesson that just as the Lord provided coverings to cover Adam and Eve, the parents' guilt, so God would continue to do that for their children and their children and generations and generations and generations for all time. So in all likelihood, they taught their children God's prescribed way of worship. And so what Cain did, he brought fruit. He brought grain when God said, you need to bring a sacrifice that requires blood. But he said, I'm going to bring this instead. In effect, what he was saying is, I am going to bring these fig leaves and I am going to sew them together and that's going to be my covering. That'll do just fine. Now, if you remember last week, we said we gave a simple definition of faith. Faith is finding out God's word and following it. And that is what Abel did, but that is not what Cain did. And there were consequences. So we're picking up the story. God's rejection, what was Cain's response? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, let me make it right. No. He was angry. The Lord said to Cain in verse 6 of chapter 4 of Genesis, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? You're mad and you're sad. Then God said, now listen, there's time. If you do what is right, if you do what I ask, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. You see, there's no middle ground. If you do what's right, if you do it by faith, if you trust me at my word, won't I accept you? Won't I be pleased with you? But if you don't do what's right, you'll be on a slippery pathway, a slope that leads down into the underbrush. So he knows what's going on, the Lord does. And so what he's doing is, even a second time, he's coming to Cain and he's offering some mercy and some encouragement and some counseling. He says, trust me. He says that if you make the choice to follow me, it'll go well with you. But if you go your own way, then these poor choices will lead to other choices that will not only impact you, but it'll impact your family for generations. But what did Cain do? Did he listen? Did he say, Lord, you're right. I changed my mind. No, he didn't. Instead, he took matters even deeper into his own hands. Verse 8 says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, here's the difference in the two types of worship. Here's the difference in the two roads. Here's the difference in the two sacrifices. Is that Abel gave God what God wanted. And Cain gave God what Cain wanted. One is done in faith, and one is not done in faith. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The faith that says, I need to find out what God wants, and then I need to do it. Because you see, faith doesn't seek to conform God to our will, but it's just the opposite. It seeks to form our wills to God's in every area of our lives. Abel's sacrifice. When he sacrificed, what he was saying, I agree. I am a sinner, and I need your covering. And the first act of faith that pleases God is to accept from God what only He can offer. That covering for us is Jesus Christ. The whole sacrificial system from the time of Adam and Eve through the people of Israel all the way up to the cross and even now was like a pointer to Jesus Christ. He is our covering. And what Abel said was this. He said, Lord, I'm doing this because this is what you said you wanted. You promised that if I brought you this sacrifice, you would forgive my sin. You would cover me. You would take care of me. And so I'm doing this, acknowledging my sin and accepting your remedy, your covering of forgiveness. That's why Abel's sacrifice was pleasing to God, because it was done in faith. The first act of faith that a person can make is to accept the covering that God offers in Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Cain's worship, Cain's sacrifice, revealed that he believed in God, but he didn't believe God. And there's a difference. The book of James says that even the demons believe in God. What Cain said was, I'll do it my way rather than God's way. Now, here's the amazing thing about that. Even afterwards, the Lord sought out Cain with mercy to counsel him, to reach out to him. And that's what Genesis 4:7 is saying. It said, if you repent and you turn to me and obey, if you can still get back on the pathway of faith, and it'll be well with you. But if you do not, then instead of you ruling over your life, maybe without you knowing it, is your choices will continue to grow and spread like cancer and rule over you. But rather than listen to the mercy of God, instead of that, he let his anger and he let his pride get the best of him. That's why in Jude 11, it talks about people who are disobedient, who are wreaking havoc in the church. He says they've gone the way of Cain. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Cains in the world. There's a lot of Cains even sitting in church pews across the world. Cain believed in God. Cain knew God's desire, but he disobeyed. That's lack of faith. Now, the third question is, what can we learn from this passage? What can we learn about real life worship? What can we learn about our choices and the roads that diverged? I think one thing is this. Faith is always a response of obedience to God's revelation. Biblical faith never rests on what we think. It never rests solely on man's ideas or man's ideals or man's desires or man's wants. It rests in the revealed Word of God. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing and receiving the Word of God. That's what Abel did. Abel offered his sacrifice by faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Therefore, Abel offered his sacrifice by hearing and obeying the Word of God, and consequently, he's mentioned, he made it into the Hall of Fame of Faith. Now, God's Word in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. It reminds us that presenting all of ourselves to God as a holy and living sacrifice, that is our acceptable and pleasing form of worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2, verse 1. Cain was religious. He wasn't an atheist. He brought a sacrifice to worship God. But by bringing his own sacrifice, what in effect he did was he rejected, you see, he rejected the sacrifice that God had given him, the prescribed sacrifice. And that's like someone in church today who seeks to worship God in their own way, but rejects the cross. They're a professor, maybe, as opposed to a possessor, claiming faith but lacking its substance. And you see, that is the heart of all false religion. Claiming that there is another way other than God's prescribed way of following Him. Now, two roads diverge in a yellow wood in this passage. One road says this. It says, like the psalmist, "For I've shown you the path of life. In my presence, there's fullness of joy." And that's the road of Abel. That's the road whose map is the Word of God. That's the road that leads to and through Jesus Christ. Faith says, "I'm going to find my direction from God and His Word, and I'm going to go there." And the other road is the way of Cain. The way that says, "You know, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to give God this area of my life. But I'm going to keep these areas for myself." The way of Cain is sort of the way of the culture. It's the way of everybody's doing it. And because of that, it must be okay. An interesting thing is that if you look at the life of the family of Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and chapter 5 and other places in the Bible, you find some interesting things. You find that in his family, there was the first murder, because Cain ended up murdering Abel. One of Cain's descendants, Lamech, got mad at someone and murdered him. You'll also find polygamy. You'll also find making instruments for battle in war. You'll find enmity, people angry with each other and jealous with each other. You find immorality. You find idol worship. You find false religion. You find unfaithfulness to God. And eventually what you find is seared consciences. Our conscience is seared, where what is wrong might even seem right. And actually, that's what happened. It's his lineage has come down. It's been developed. It's been refined. And it's spread to the point where today what is biblically wrong is touted as right, either by belief or by behavior, even among churchgoers. And we have to wrestle with that. We have to wrestle with the culture that we have ourselves in. And here's the thing. Abel and Cain were both sinful. Abel and Cain were just like us. They both need the covering that only God can give. Now, maybe Abel was a better person than Cain. You know, maybe Cain had a temper problem. You know, maybe he was rash and he got angry really, really quick, or whatever it might be. Maybe Abel really acted better than Cain. Maybe Abel was the favorite of his parents. Who knows? Maybe Abel was quiet, he was moral, and Cain was a hothead. But what made Abel acceptable was not the way he acted. What made him acceptable was his faith. He was counted righteous by God, not because he was a good person, but according to Hebrews 11:4, he was counted righteous because of his faith. Now, maybe you are living like Cain in some areas. Maybe you're holding on to choices for whatever reason. Maybe for convenience. I shouldn't say comfort. Maybe you're holding on to them for personal happiness. Things that aren't square with the Word of God. The Word of His protection and His provision. Or maybe you're like Cain. Maybe you're angry at God. We can become angry with God, and that can affect our choices. Maybe you've accepted God's sacrifice for you, His covering in Jesus Christ, but you still see areas of pride and self, areas of Cain in your life, and that's not good. But it's not too late. Let me encourage you to look at this passage and see the mercy of God, specifically in Genesis 4, 6, and 7, where God came to Cain again. See, I'm not so sure that Cain's greatest mistake was in bringing a bad sacrifice. I think maybe his greatest mistake was when he disregarded God's mercy and his counsel a second time. Because God came and said, Cain, you can make it right. You can still change your mind and return. It isn't too late. But if you don't, you're going to go down a slippery slope. Now, what fact of it is there's a little Cain in all of us. Because really, if we're honest, we all tend to go our own way. And as a consequence, we make deals with God. We give Him what we want to give Him. Or maybe we only give Him partially what He wants. And the fire of God never falls on a partial sacrifice. That's why I want to encourage all of us to pay attention to the mercy of God when He says, you can still make it right. You can turn. You can lay this area or that area of behavior upon the altar of sacrifice. And according to God, you can still live a life that is pleasing in His sight. And it's not too late ever to turn and choose the road of faith. But what God is saying is that if we don't, eventually, the time will come where choices will lead to choices, and that will have an impact in a way that we won't be pleased with. You see, faith is the substance of the heart that causes us to seek God's plan and provision in every area of our life. That's what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so as we tour this Hall of Fame of Faith, be sure and stop and read up on Abel, who was worshiping by faith and consequently was pleasing to God. And we can do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this lesson of Cain and Abel. And Lord, we can't ever say, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like Cain. Because apart from Your grace, we are all like him. Even Abel is like Cain apart from Your grace. Father, help us not to stop at just receiving Your covering through Your Son, Jesus Christ. But help us to live in such a way that not only pleases You, but where we enjoy Him. Help us to be mindful, not guilty or not introspective or anything like that, but just to be mindful through the power of Your Holy Spirit of areas where maybe we're just giving You a little bit, or of areas where maybe we're just giving You what we want. And help us to be the kind of people who find out what You want, and then do it. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. We'd like to offer a special welcome to those who listen to the broadcast from around the globe over the internet. We encourage you to send us a note to let us know you're there and perhaps how we can pray for you. Until next time, may God bless.